Thanks for coming. The past few months, I've had the great opportunity to travel all over the state and to talk with people from all walks of life. Whether a person is a Democrat, Republican, or other political party, there's one common concern. The financial situation this country faces is enormous. Within the next few months, our Congress must once again raise our debt ceiling from $11.8 trillion to $13 trillion. In order for us to be able to borrow more money to pay our bills. We are currently borrowing $20 billion a week. And if you run those numbers out, $100 billion every 5 weeks, and that's just to keep the lights off. This cannot continue. Traditionally, my party has been the party of fiscal responsibility, individual freedom, personal responsibility, and less government. I believe that we have become a nation void of real leadership, not standing firm on the principles that our nation was founded on. Too many of our elected leaders have become part of the problem rather than part of the solution. I have asked my opponent to sit down and talk about the future of our party, but he refuses to even acknowledge me. So I must begin asking the questions that I and many others around the state want answered. Many of us have worked very hard to make the Republican Party the majority party here in Missouri. For the most part, I believe that we have put forth a conservative agenda for the state, and I believe this is one of the major reasons the Missouri Senate, in a bad election year for Republicans, was still able to gain 3 seats when other state chambers and Republicans in the United States Congress were losing seats. In 2000, many of us worked hard to make the Republican Party a majority party in Washington. Here are the results of that work. If you look at the chart here, 2001-2002 is when Republicans took over the House, Senate, and the presidency. First two-year deficit was $30 billion, which was not bad considering the 9/11 tragedies, a drop in the revenues. So that wasn't that bad of a time. We can overlook the $30 billion with the problems that we had at that time. What we can't overlook is 2003-2004, with Republicans in charge 229-205, and in the Senate 51-48, our deficit grew to $792 billion. This is at the time my opponent became leadership in the Missouri, in the U.S. Congress. So in a leadership position, you're able to drive policy. So. In 2005-2006, it was the high mark of the Republican Party, with the House at 232-202, and the Senate was 55-44. And we all understand in 2006 elections, 2007 elections, because I believe that Republicans didn't stand on their principles and put forth a conservative agenda and actually stand on what the party was founded on, a change in leadership occurred. And we can see that it was business as usual back to $617 billion. So really when Republicans got in charge, because they didn't stand on their principles, basically nothing changed. And now we're back to even higher record deficits. 2001-2006, the Republicans were in charge. We have no one to blame but ourselves, since we had the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And it's ironic that the first plank of the Republican Party is a balanced budget. So is the party to blame, or is it the people we've elected? In homes all across the state, families are buckling down and making tough choices to balance their checkbooks. Is it too much to ask our government to do the same? This is probably the reason most people want to clean out Washington, regardless of party affiliation, and replace Congress with people who can actually balance a checkbook. The question I want to ask my opponent, and I will continue to ask this through the coming months, is what happened, Roy? So I'd like to take any questions that you all have.
How much would that change?
Well, getting information out of the Washington Budget Office is very tough. And trying to figure and sort it out, I called and asked that very same question. And I got about a 30-page explanation of off-budget and on-budget items. What I've been able to figure out, most of the war in Iraq was off-budget expenditure. And then you also look at the Social Security revenue that comes in is also, I believe, now what I'm trying to figure out through all this government red tape, if the Iraq War was off budget, it's not part of this, and if the Social Security fund is figured in, that's figured in as income when that is actually should go into Social Security and should not be counted as income. So I remember a famous Missourian one time says when it comes to government, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. So that is one of the things I'm trying to find out, and it's very about as clear as mud when you start dealing with the Washington Budget Office on getting information. But from what I've been able to glean from it, most of the war is off budget. Social Security is figured into these deficits. And I'll be glad to admit I'm wrong, but that's what I've been able to deduct from the information that I've been given. I'm sorry, what was... Well, I believe in the... I'm a Republican because I believe in the Republican platform. And when the number one plank of the platform is a balanced budget, you know, I believe in that. And that's what I believe, you know. And it's what we have to do as a party is we have to stand on our principles, and we have to sit and look at people that we elect to put in office to make sure that they're abiding by the platform and the principles that the party puts out. You know, that's one of the things when I run for office, I read both party platforms, and I said, this is what represents me. This is what I believe in. That's why I became a Republican, because I come from a family that was not really politically active. You know, I'm the first person in my family that's ever even considered running for office. But I actually believe that in order for you to have a strong building, you have to have a strong foundation. And that the foundation of the Republican Party is a balanced budget. And that's one of the things, problems that I see and the frustration that I see at the Tea Parties and all the events that I go to is we need to stand up and stand for something, you know, and instead of a situation where we get elected into office and we fail to live up to what I believe our foundations of our party is, we need to hold our people accountable, just like I'm accountable to the people that elect me. Well, I believe in looking at results. We're the show me state. When I look at this, now, what would encourage me to go out and work for a strong Republican candidate that says he's for a balanced budget, but always it's becomes part of the same? You know, it seems to me politics has become where each party does a poll, and they go out with the results of that poll, and every 2 years there's a big marketing plan to go out and say what people want to hear, and then they go to Washington and they run up record deficits. You know, this can't continue. You know, when I talk to businesses, when I talk to people around the state, what we're doing is nuts. Our country cannot stay strong fiscally when we're borrowing $20 billion a week. You know, it is amazing to me the amount of people that come up to me and ask, do you know what they're doing? You know, what are they doing up there? Do they know that you can't spend your way to prosperity? And so, you know, that's one of the biggest reasons I'm running is because, you know, what are they doing? And when you see the results of what they've done in the past, I think that in a private business, if you managed a company at a time that you lost a lot of money, do you promote those people or do you look for someone else to run the company? And I think that's what we need to start doing in our elected leaders, holding them up to the same standards. I think that, you know, we've heard over and over again that we need new leadership, you know, because the leadership we've had in the past basically didn't fulfill the promises that they made. You know, the number two plank in the Republican Party is no earmarks. So you have a situation where a balanced budget and no earmarks is two planks in our party, but yet the people we vote in don't follow those planks. So I actually think that we've got great people out there that can actually work and for a balanced budget and pledge to only vote for balanced budgets. I think we have a lot of candidates out there that will say that earmarks, when you're going broke, that you have to stop runaway spending at the federal government. You know, the number one thing here is you have to realize that we're borrowing $20 billion a week off stuff we've already passed. You know, and we're thinking about running more, you know, adding more to that debt. I think we've already gone past our children, and we're looking at grandchildren, great-grandchildren trying to service the debt. So, I think that you look at performance in the past, what your past track record is. You know, if you're for a balanced budget, you know, I just got a simple question. If number one plank of the Republican Party is a balanced budget, and you have the presidency and the House and the Senate, why do you have deficits that $792 billion? You know, we've got to look at what the real problem is, and the real problem is this country is going broke. If we don't do things to fix it, we can't stay strong as a nation. Well, I think what Ronald Reagan said one time, that the first thing you have to do is stop the train from going down the tracks. The number one thing is that we've got to stop passing stuff that we can't pay for. And we've got to begin the process of backing the train up and reducing the size of government rather than depending on the taxpayer to fund a train that's heading down the track the wrong direction. You know, we've done that in state government. The 13 years that I've been here, we've actually balanced a budget. Now, I know we're constitutionally required to do that, but it can be done. And being in partnership with a federal government that deficit spends and prints their own money is why your states are getting into trouble now. And that's going to continue to be an ongoing problem, that until the federal government gets their budget under control, it's going to put more and more pressure on the states just to come up with the our cash money that the federal government can actually print. It's impossible for the states to keep up. So why not just begin by saying, stop, we're not going to pass any more stuff until we start getting our budget under control. Now, I've been here 13 years. I'm not going to change now. Those were bad ideas. Putting the state, when you're losing $800 million a year, you know, as we were last year until the federal money come in, to turn around and borrow another $800 million to go build buildings somewhere is nuts. And no, I'm still opposed to, you know, we're going into a budget cycle now that because of the federal dollars, we didn't go back and fix the structural problems that we had in our budget. So we're going to have even worse problems in the future. You know, I look at even with federal money this year coming in, we're going to have to do budget cuts. And the next year is an even bigger hole. So to turn around and reverse the principles that I stand on because of political gain is not going to happen. Yeah, you know, they didn't know I was running and there was a lot of pressure, you know, among our party not to have a primary. You know, and Sarah Steelman was, the conversation that I had with some people is, well, we got to keep Sarah out of the race, so let's endorse Blunt and maybe Sarah won't run. And, you know, this was not something that I was thinking about doing. And, in fact, I was perfectly happy with living out my term limits and being able to go home and grow my beard long and write nasty letters to the editor. But when you look at the situation that we're looking at, is unless some people start standing up and saying that hey, we're going broke, you know, you cannot do what we're doing in a household and expect to be able to pay the bills and send your kids to college when they're older. You know, someone's got to stand up and say that, you know, this is not working. we're spending ourselves into oblivion. And this is a decision that I reached after session was over. I went home and I wanted to take a couple weeks, and I got just thinking about looking at statistics like this. You know, and one of the things that I've heard is insanity is doing the same things over and over again, expecting different results. You know, if we continue to send people that become part of the problem rather than the solution, that constantly deficit spend, we shouldn't be surprised when our deficits continue to grow. So it doesn't matter to me. You know, there's a lot of people that think they want a future in Republican politics, that they think they need certain people to be able to run for a higher office. Well, I don't really care, you know, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to say what needs to be said. If the voters entrust me to go up and start trying to stop this train, I'll do it. If I don't, you know, I'll go home and be happy and begin the letter writing campaign to the editor. But no, I'll be honest with you. The party has not talked to me about getting out. I'm doing this because, see, I think I'm doing a lot of this because I care about, I think the Republican principles are the only thing that can save this country. The policies of fiscal responsibility, unless we start practicing those, we're not going to make it. I think the Republican Party is the last great hope to turn it around. But it's only if our party is strong and energized, and that we hold the people that we elect up to a high standard. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen is there's a lot of frustrated people out there that look at both parties and say, you know, they don't speak for me anymore. And what we're going to see is a mass exodus of a lot of people leaving, I believe the majority leaving the Republican Party to a third party, because they're looking for someone that will actually stand up and say, you know, this is wrong, this is the direction we need to go. So I think what I'm trying to do is strengthen the party by getting us back to the basics of what our party was founded on. And if we don't do that, I'm afraid that we may lose a lot of the people that now support us to third-party candidates, and it'll be very hard for us to win any type of statewide elections if you lose a big part of your base.
Chuck, are you saying basically that you're trying to get the way you want to see things more your way? I mean, I've talked to you on the phone.
Do you think it's a legitimate question that I ask? You know, since I can't sit down and talk to him, you know, since we cannot have a one-on-one discussion about the principles and past policies that we've had, what is wrong with asking the question of someone that was in leadership, what happened during this time period? You know, I think that as a Republican that believes in fiscal responsibility, that's a very simple question, that what happened when we worked hard to put people in charge. What happened? You know, why did nothing change except the R and the D on names? You know, how can people that failed when they were in charge turn around and offer a better plan on how to maintain financial stability in a nation when they were in charge, it didn't happen? You know, I'm a relatively simple person, but if I go buy a used car and the used car dealer doesn't fulfill his side of the bargain, I won't go buy a used car from him again. You know, and I think that elected leaders that have the future of my children and grandchildren at stake ought to be held to at least that high of a standard. I don't think I've said bad. I think our party is...
I'm saying that the guy who might be your flag bearer in the next election is part of the problem. That's not good.
Well, you think that, you don't think the opposition party is going to bring these points out?
Yeah, when it comes from within, though, it kind of makes voters think twice.
Well, it's kind of hard to argue with the numbers.
Hey, Chuck, yeah. You talked before about how the deficit increased.
Well, and Democrats in charge. Major announcement, you know, it's major to me. It may not be major to you all, but I'm starting the campaign of just asking what happened. You know, what happened when Republicans were in charge? You know, and be able to stand. I want people to be able to stand on their record. Just like, you know, my record is an open book here in the Missouri House and Missouri Senate. You can ask me anything about anything. You know, I'm sitting here now trying to think of a decision I made that I think was wrong, and you know, I'm human, I make mistakes, but I think that I've always followed a policy of physical restraint and tried to figure out a way that to make people understand that the people that earn the money usually spend it more wisely, and that government growth is not a good thing because the people that are out working hard day in and day out are the ones that are going to have to pay the bills. What I think you're seeing in these Tea Parties is an awakening of the silent majority across the state. There are people that when I've talked to young legislators that come up here, and I tell them that when you sit in a hearing room and you have lobbyists that come in and argue one side or the other, what you have to remember is the person that cannot afford a lobbyist and does not have a lobbyist is a silent majority of people out there that are paying all the bills. And you always have to keep those people in mind. And what you're seeing now in the Tea Parties is the silent majority, I believe, beginning to wake up and say, you know, these guys are not being very wise with our money. The checkbooks are not balanced. This can't continue. And I think you're seeing a lot of frustration of people out there that want to see a change in direction and get back to some basic policies of fiscal restraint.
Have you thought about resigning the state or focus on this time?
No, there's a lot of things that, like you mentioned, in the Senate that's going to be coming up in the next year to enhance revenues through investment of more tax dollars, and the taxpayers are going to have somebody here to protect them. So I'm gonna be working to protect the taxpayer up here. I never like to, you know, I hate pompous politicians, but I don't like being ignored when I'm a state senator, having worked hard for the party for 13 years, the same number a lot more than some people have been in office. You know, I was in the minority party in the Missouri House. You know, I worked hard to put us in a majority. I worked hard for people putting them in a majority in the U.S. Senate. I think that I get frustrated that people like me, they want us to work for them, but then when it comes to helping them shape policy be quiet and sit down and let us do it. You know, I'm a little frustrated that as a state senator, I don't have a spot at the table to talk about conservative values of the 160,000 people that I represent. So, well, I've asked for debates, you know, just like my opponents asked for debates from Secretary of State Carnahan. And I really don't want to debate, but I'd like to have the opportunity to sit down and publicly discuss the future of this country. You know, I don't think that's too much to ask, because when you know how things are when you get into a general election, you get to where you don't believe anything with the ads that are flying around. But, you know, why can't two people sit down and talk about the future of our party, the mistakes I feel was made in the past, and paint a picture of the direction that I think we need to go in the future? But, you know, I, as a Republican, when I look at my platform and see a balanced budget, no earmarks, is it not wrong for me to expect the people that I work for, that I voted to put into office, to basically follow that platform? And I don't see that happening. So when I'm always the type that if you can't get somebody to do it, you might as well go do it yourself, and that's why I'm running. So, I haven't asked personally. I've asked through the public media.
Mm-hmm.
No, but his campaign's not talked to me either, so. Well, exactly who do you blame? You know, when you are in a party, I think that's not shirking responsibility when you point a finger at one person and say, this is it. You know, we were in charge then, you know, and it's kind of hard to get past that fact, you know, a lot of things that's happening now, you know, we're fighting cap and trade, we're fighting global warming issues. We're fighting those because I feel we didn't stand on conservative principles and allowed the other party to come into power. So I think that if we had actually done what we were supposed to do in those times, we wouldn't be in the position we're in now.
Have you found any way to
We're working hard. You know, we're never going to be able to outraise Washington. You know, my donations are going to come in $25 checks from people that are out working hard trying to pay bills. But you will never compete with Washington politicians with Washington money. So you have to do other things, and that's a lot of ways through the grassroots and talking with people and getting the silent majority of people out there involved. Thanks.